Hello. My daddy didn't want to record before the theme music, so I'm doing it instead. This is the bit before the theme music. Thank you.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
I'm not an angry elf. You're an angry elf. Hello, you beautiful people. Oh, it's so good to see you. I just want to grab you and say, oh, you look so lovely. Because you do look lovely. Have you done something to your hair? Have you lost weight? I don't know what you've done, but you look fantastic. I've got a show for you today, and it's packed. I said that last week. I said it the week before. It is packed. There's so much going on in this show. If I listed all the things that are going on in the show, it would double the length of the show. There's that much stuff going on. It's unbelievable. So let's get straight into it. I want to start off with the likes on Facebook. If you want to hear your name in a fortnight's time on the next episode, all you got to do is like the Facebook page and you'll hear your name and you'll be like, oh, that's my name. I've forgotten what it was. Now I know. Something like that. I don't know. So I want to say hello to Chad Cool, Elsie Newman and Bjorn Hannibal. Just a quick one. Elsie Newman. That's not Elsie as in short for Elspeth or Elizabeth, it's actually LC, the letters LC. That's Lima Charlie, if you're using the old phonetic alphabet. So, there you go. I'm guessing, let's have a guess. I'll go Larry. L is Larry. Larry Newman. I'm guessing, I don't know. Could be I can't think of another name that begins with L, can I? No. Anyway. Thanks for you three. I actually got an email from Mr. Newman, Elsie. I'm just going to read a little bit out for you. Here it comes. About 10 days ago on iHeartRadio, while looking for Xmas songs, I saw your cast. I saved it because the wife wanted to hear Christmas songs. She's big into Christmas all year, and we have decorations around the house in discreet places. Discreet places. I'm not going to go into what discreet places are. Let's just carry on. I would like to say a few things about your cast. Hope I'm not wasting your time. I think you have a great USA correspondent, David Newman. That's not David Newman. It's actually Scott Newman. But I like the fact that he's put David Newman because Scott will love that. Because the name Newman comes from the ancient Anglo-Saxon culture of Britain. He's right about that. David fits right into your cast. Hear that, David? Strangely, my name is Newman. I like the kids on each cast. Oh, that's nice to hear. They sound exactly like the two young girls that were in the 2006 movie The Holiday. And I'd never thought about that, but yeah, Jude Law has got two young girls in that one. When I was a kid, my family watched The Wizard of Oz during the holidays. I have no clue why. Plus, we watched The Miracle on 34th Street, the old one, which I prefer, I think. I do like both of them, but that is my... I do prefer that one. I like this. My kids watched the BB Gun movie. I think he means A Christmas Story, but we all know what he's talking about. And the Die Hard movie. Not what I watch. I think my Xmas movie is Love Actually. It's such a feel-good movie. Worst present I ever had, and still getting, body wash and the strange spongy thing that comes with it. Get this. I have 7 now stored away in one of the bathroom drawers. I would give my right arm for a bag of nails. I love building stuff, and I'm going to give a box of nails to both my kids this Christmas. It'll be great fun. So there we go. You know, when I heard about the bag of nails, I found it very funny, you know, but I guess different strokes for different folks, you know. Some people want a bag of nails, I guess. And if you know Elsie Newman, don't give him another body wash. What's wrong with you? He's got a 7 in a drawer already, okay? Doesn't need any more of those. What a spongy thing that comes with it. Think of something else. Perhaps, maybe, the gift I'm going to suggest today, which I don't know what it is because I haven't researched that bit yet. Also, from a listener, I got a message from Curtis Parrish, and he was talking about, let me read it out. He said, I've discovered a modernised Scottish remake of A Christmas Carol that holds fairly true to the original in meaning. There is one problem. Since it is modern, the poor are covered by the NHS. That is a problem. And I'd never thought about that, but yeah, they are. So, not so tiny, Tim, is already being treated. That plotline is left hanging. I guess Scrooge could have flown him to another country for experimental treatments. That's a good point. Yeah, I'm aware of this one actually. It's on Amazon Prime, definitely in the UK. Not sure if it's on in every country. I haven't watched it yet. I will. I do plan on watching it in the next, before Christmas, I think. But yeah, thanks for that, Curtis. If you want to watch it, guys, it's called A Christmas Carol, and it's from 2018. Yeah, have a look. Thanks for that, Curtis. I also received a message through Facebook from Joachim Johansson, and he said, he's from Sweden, and he said that in Sweden, the hyacinth is probably the most popular Christmas flower alongside the poinsettia. So if you were listening last week when you heard me talking about the plants, I didn't talk about the hyacinth because it's not one that really blooms that early in the UK. I don't know if it blooms earlier in Sweden, but there you go. That's another one to add to the list. Thanks for that, Joachim. I also had another email from Barry Grapefruit. If you remember him, he gave me a bit of feedback on the segment I did on plants last week. And this is what his email says. Dear Jack, I've just finished binge listening to all your episodes. Can I give you one piece of advice? At the beginning of the first three episodes, you apologised for the quality of the show. But after the third episode, you stopped doing this. Can I suggest that you continue to warn listeners that your show is not of very high quality? I think it's only fair that you warn the listeners before they start listening. Well, thanks for that, Barry. But if you did listen to all the previous episodes, you'd realise that it was actually the first four episodes where I apologised. And if you listened to the fifth one, you'd know that that was the episode where I said I was going to stop apologising because it was soul destroying. So I appreciate your feedback, but no, I'm not going back to the old days. I can't go back to where I was apologising for every episode before. It's not happening, Barry. If you want to give your feedback, that's fine, but I'm not, no. No, I say, no. Right. On a lighter note, actually, we've got a new member of the team. We have the self-appointed Scandinavian correspondent, and he sent me a message. His name is Bjorn Hannibal, and this is the message. Here we go.
Hi, my name is Bjorn. I'm from Denmark, and I am your self-appointed Scandinavian correspondent from Scandinavia. Now, I've been binge listening to your podcast while putting up Christmas lights here at the restaurant that I run. It took 3 days, but it looks gorgeous. And I owe it all to your podcast. I'm sure that's all it was. I want to say I love the stories about the Yule lads. They're so insane. And being from Denmark, I sort of know the stories from Iceland as well. I hate the kids. I positively loathe your kids. No, not specifically your kids, just all of them. I'm not saying you should, like, you know, throw them in a dumpster or anything. I'm just saying here. But I love the jingles, like, all of them. They're fantastic, especially when you put on, you know, the tambourine. It's, you know, it's quality, production quality. You see how I tried to sort of sandwich the I hate kids in between two positive things so you wouldn't notice? I'm not sure it worked. I don't know. I have a great story of Christmas shame that I'm gonna send in to you. I think you will love it. It's definitely a shameful moment for me, so you will love it. But for now, glad you, Merry Christmas, and signing off from your Scandinavian correspondent, Bjorn.
So, a couple of things from that. Firstly, it wasn't the tambourine, actually, when I was doing the Yule Lads thing. It was, I got some jingle bells. I was shaking the jingle bells. It was meant to be festive. The other thing, your thoughts about my children. The funny thing is, that is most people's favourite part of the show, and clearly your least favourite part. But, interestingly, I think a lot of people don't care for the Yule Lads, because, quite frankly, there's so many of them, I'm getting a bit bored of them. But I'm glad that you like them, and I am going to keep doing them till we get to Christmas. So I told my kids that we've got a new correspondent for the show from Scandinavia, and I've got a message for Bjorn from Robin. So here it comes.
Hello, Bjorn Hannibal. I think you are lovely. Bye.
So there you go, Bjorn. I guess there's no hard feelings from Robin about your comments. So anyway, Bjorn sent me some pictures of the restaurant, and it is decked out all over the front with beautiful Christmas lights. It's done a fantastic job. I'll probably put some of those pictures up on the internet. So it's called the Hotel Lynge Kro, that's spelled Lyngekro, and that's in Lynge, Denmark. So if you fancy going to Denmark, then that's got to be the place to go, I guess, because he's my Scandinavian correspondent. Great to have you on the team, Bjorn, and we're all looking forward to your story of shame. Now, just a little update. A couple of episodes ago, I read out an email from the show's number one fan, Lee Mayer, and he was talking about the Christmas food book from Sainsbury's, said it wasn't that good. Then he went to Marks & Spencer's and got the one from there. And this is what he said about it. He said, I went into Marks & Spencer's and picked up their book, and man, let me tell you, that is one hell of a sexy book to look through. Right, so I picked up a copy of the Marks & Spencer's Christmas food book, and he's not kidding. It's food porn. It's pornographic. It's food pornographic. It's unbelievable. But it's really high class food porn. It's sort of like, imagine if like all the supermodels did a really high class porn magazine, but with food. That's what this is. And it will appeal to men and women, and it doesn't matter if you're into men or if you're into women. And I'm sorry if this is getting a bit adult. Let me illustrate my point. Got that magazine. Okay, I brought it home, put it on the kitchen table. Wife picks it up, she's having a look through it. She's sitting in the lounge having a look through it, right? And she puts it down, watching a bit of TV. And I turn around, she's picked it up again. And she keeps putting it down, picking it up again. She can't stop herself flicking through it. It is unbelievable. The food in there, it makes me wish I was a richer man, because I don't shop at Marks & Spencer's, because we have discussed this. I am a cheapskate, whereas my wife has higher aspirations than I do. So she is looking, going, God, look at this, look at this. I'm like, yeah, and look at the price. But still, it's just to look through. It's something to behold. So I'm going to stick a few pictures on Facebook of the Marks & Spencer's Christmas food book. But thank you for the suggestion, Lee, because my wife, she's loving it. Absolutely loving it. And the sad thing is, she's looked at that book too long, and now I can't satisfy her. In a food way. This is all in a food way, okay? All in a food way. So if you want to get someone a great present this year, you could get them the Marks & Spencer's catalogue, food catalogue, or how about this? This is the most wonderful present I've ever received. We're not going to talk about the jingle, just forget you heard it, okay? So for the past few episodes, I've been giving you gift suggestions on what to buy people. And every time I say, please send in your ideas. Now, I don't think any of you saw through this to the fact that I haven't got any ideas what to get my wife for Christmas. And I'm relying on you, the lovely listener, to give me some suggestions. And none of you have bothered. And to be honest, I'm a bit upset. However, just this last week, our new friend of the show, Benji Pearson, sent me an email with this. I've been thinking of gifts you could suggest. My wife and I want to start giving our children experience gifts. We're looking into a snowmobile tour. Do you have such a thing in the UK? Pretty much no, we don't have that in the UK because we don't have enough snow. Up in Scotland, you might get a bit if you're lucky, if you go right up into the Highlands. Everywhere else, there's no snow. Or there's very little, you know, if you're lucky. Some years we don't get any snow at all. Some years you'll get a few days of it, it's nice. But that's not important. What is important is that this is a great suggestion. Not just the snowmobile thing, that's useless to me, but experiences for people are fantastic, and it's something I've actually done in the past. So for my parents, quite often for Christmas, I'll buy them a pair of theatre tickets. They're incredibly hard to buy for, you know, they've got everything they need. So an experience like this is something they might not necessarily have thought about buying themselves. Last year, we bought them afternoon tea package in a country house with like grounds, and you get to walk around the grounds and that. And they had a fabulous time. They really did. And it was something they never would have thought about doing themselves. And quite often, for my wife, I'll buy a voucher for a massage. So she's got something to look forward to as well. But there are dozens of different ideas out there. All you have to do is type in experience gifts on Google, and there's loads of websites with loads of hundreds of different ideas, and most of them will be local to you as well. But if it's someone that lives further away, you could buy them something that's local to them, and it's a gift that really you will be able to find something to suit everyone. You could buy like a driving experience on a racetrack if you've got a friend who's into cars. You could organise a spa day for someone. Restaurant vouchers are always a good idea, especially for people that don't necessarily eat out that often. And if you've got friends that you want to buy restaurant vouchers for, you could like stick in a babysitting coupon as well, so that they get a date night and you look after the kids while they've gone out. Like helicopter rides or rock climbing for like more adventurous types. There's hundreds and hundreds of different experience days that you can buy, and they're not always that expensive either. You can find some really reasonably priced ones. The reason I think this is such a great idea is because every year you get your presents, you know, you've got them all there, that's it. And then New Year comes, and then you've got two, and if you live in the Northern Hemisphere, you've got 2 months of winter in front of you. And sadly, even though it's a brand new year, quite often that's the worst time of the year because it's still dark, it's still dismal, it's still cold, and all you've got to look forward to is spring. But if you've got something like this, you've got a voucher for a day out or an experience, it gives you something new to look forward to, and you think all your other presents might be more tangible, but an experience gift is something that you've got. You can look at those tickets and you think, yeah, I'm going to get to do that soon. And I just think it's the perfect gift to see you through the dark winter months. So that's this week's recommendation. Why not look into what experiences you can buy for your friends and loved ones? And thank you again to Benji for the suggestion. Now, I still haven't got any ideas for my wife. You've really not been helpful. I'm laying my cards on the table, okay? What am I getting my wife for Christmas? That's what this segment is going to be called from now on. What is Jack getting his wife for Christmas? Send in your ideas.
I'm singing! I'm in a stall and I'm singing! I'm in a stall and I'm singing!
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole. Boys and girls, I've got a treat for you now. It's Robin Sings, everyone's favourite part of the show. Now, this was actually recorded back in, I think, January. I recorded Robin singing a few songs back then. So I've had this saved and I thought I'd play it for you now. She does sound a little bit younger than she has in the more recent episodes, but I think it's a thing of beauty. I really like this one, and I hope you do too.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw him, you'd even say it glows. And all of the other reindeers used to shout and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. And one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to stay. Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? And all the reindeers loved him, and they shouted out with glee. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history.
So there you go. That was this week's Robin Sings. Hope you enjoyed it. And now it's time for this.
I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
So this episode is a little bit Smurf heavy. I think you're going to enjoy that. But, you know, maybe you'll hate it. That's your problem. So the Smurfs were originally called Les Strumpfs. I hope I'm saying that right. Les Strumpfs. And they were originally comic characters in Belgium, and they were drawn and written by a guy called Peyo, spelled P-E-Y-O. And the Smurfs first appeared, are you ready, in 1958. That's a long time ago. In the 50s, the Smurfs turned up. The first Smurf film was in black and white, and that was in 1965. And then in 1976, they did the Smurfs and the Magic Flute. And I remember the Smurfs and the Magic Flute. It didn't make it to the UK for like another 3 or 4 years, but I do remember it being in the cinemas when I was a very little boy. So in 1977, the owners of the Smurfs approached a singer-songwriter and producer called Pierre Cartner, whose stage name was Father Abraham. Now, Father Abraham, in his career, he's still going now, he's written apparently around 1,600 songs. 1,600 songs. That is a lot of songs. So they approached him and asked him to write and record a song about the Smurfs. And the first song that he recorded was called The Smurf Song by Father Abraham and the Smurfs. Here's a clip for you.
Tell me, why are Smurfs so small?
We're not small, but you are tall.
Do you wear your caps in bed?
Yes, our caps stay on our head.
And it has got a very catchy chorus. Here you go.
La 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 la.
So the song came out and it was a massive success. So I made an album, and the album, the original album, reached number one in 16 countries. It sold by the bucket load. So the British version of the song that I just played, that was released in 1978 in the UK, and it got to number two, and it spent 6 weeks at number two. At the time, it held the record for the longest time spent at number two and not reaching number one. The song that kept it off number one was You're the One That I Want by John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John from Greece. That record was matched in 1991, I think, by I'm Too Sexy by Whiteside Fred. But at the time, that was a record for the most weeks at number two. So they released an album called Father Abraham in Smurfland. And in the UK, that only got to number 19. But then they released another single called Dippity Day, which got to number 13. And then in December of 1978, they released this song.
Christmas, Christmas in Smurfinland. Christmas, Christmas, let's walk hand in hand.
Now, my parents bought a copy of that album and we had it on cassette tape, and I'm pretty sure we've still got it kicking around somewhere. I should have a look next time I'm around my folks' house. I would have only been about 4 years old, the same age as Robin is now, and me and my brothers absolutely loved that album. We used to have it in the car and we'd listen to it over and over and over. And this song, I particularly loved. I think it's atmospheric, it's schmaltzy, yeah, but it's, I just think it's a lovely song. I'll play a little bit more for you.
Sleigh bells ring, Smurfs all sing, in the evening glow.
In winter clothes and woolen hose, we run through the snow.
One other thing I want to say about this song is that a lot of Christmas songs, especially ones aimed at kids, they haven't got sort of Christian sentiments in it. But this one, I think it has. Have a listen to this next bit.
A gentle song just strolls along through the silent night.
Then way on high, up in the sky, an angel blows his horn.
The news is heard around the world, for on Christmas morn, Smurf joined all people, man a child was born.
Now sadly, I don't think I've ever heard this song on the radio. Maybe back when I was tiny, they played it then. Since then, the only times I've ever heard it is listening to that little cassette tape. I loved it that much that when I was in my late teens, that was the first year I did my own Christmas mixtape. And that was one of the songs I put on there. You'd never hear it anywhere else. I've never seen it anywhere else. Never on any mixtapes I've had in the past. Like I said, never any more radio play. But I just adore it. I think it's just such a cute, sweet little song. And at Christmas, that's what I want. I want cute. I want sweet. So whether you're a fan of the Smurfs or just a fan of fantastic music, have a listen to it. It's on YouTube. You won't have any trouble finding it. Just put Christmas in Smurfland. Up it'll come. Have a listen to the whole thing. And, you know, maybe you want to go out and buy a copy of the old Father Abraham in Smurfland. It's available on vinyl. So since then, the Smurfs have had another couple of Christmas albums. They did Merry Christmas with the Smurfs in 1983, which I think wasn't released in the UK. It was definitely released in the States, though, with the fantastic Smurfing Bells, Smurfing Bells. Yeah, that's clever. And the next time there was a Christmas album released in the UK, that was the Smurfs' Christmas Party, and they had the classic Smurfing Around the Christmas Tree. Yeah. But to me, none of those were a patch on Christmas in Smurfland.
The world's full of magic, for it's Christmas time.
Humbug.
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 Humbug. Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a
humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
This episode's version of A Christmas Carol is The Smurfs' Christmas Carol from 2011. In 2011, the first live-action Smurfs film was released. It was a massive success, and off the back of that, they decided to make a Christmas short that they could add into the DVD release that came out for Christmas 2011. So they came up with the idea to do A Smurfs' Christmas Carol, and a couple of the voice actors that did the Smurfs film weren't available, or just didn't want to, I don't know. They weren't available to do the short version. Papa Smurf, who was originally played by Jonathan Winters. If you don't know Jonathan Winters, he's a very famous actor. He was in Mork and Mindy. He played Mirth from Earth. He was replaced by Jack Angel, who's not quite as famous at all. Did a lot of voiceover work. And Smurfette, who was originally in the movie, played by Katy Perry, she was replaced by Melissa Sturm. And Melissa Sturm, she was more of a voice actor as well. But they both do a very good job, I will say that. So this version is very different to the original story, so I'm just going to lead you through how the story goes. So it begins, and the whole of the Smurf village, all their mushrooms are all decorated, and some of the and a bunch of the Smurfs are walking through the village singing Christmas carols. Got a clip for you. So they get to Grouchy's house and it's not been decorated. Now this is the point, you think, well, that's to be expected, but the comment is made that he usually does actually like Christmas, but it appears this year he's not made any effort at all, and they mention that his role was always to put the star on the top of the Christmas tree. But this year he doesn't want to do it, and he says he hates Christmas. And let me play a little bit for you, because I like this.
I hate stars, mistletoe, candy cane stockings, and fruitcake. I hate Christmas.
How can someone hate fruitcake? It's delicious.
It's always nice to have a joke about fruitcake in a Christmas film, so well done for putting that in there. So Papa Smurf is like, well, we've got to do something about this. And what they do, okay, now this I'm not too impressed with, to be honest, because they pretty much drug him. They spike his drink. Papa Smurf mixes up some strange potion and then sort of sends it off, and it floats around and it ends up in Grouchy's Smurfberry nog, and he drinks it down. It's like slipping him a roofie, or Rohypnol, as you'd say in the UK. So, not a great message for the kids, personally. But anyway, we'll accept it. He passes out. When he wakes up, all of a sudden, instead of it being the 3D computer-generated animation, now it's 2D hand-drawn. I'm guessing the only reason they did that was to save money. But when he first wakes up, he does make a half-decent joke about it. Here you go.
Wow! My stomach is looking flat!
See, did you get that? Because instead of it being 3D, now it's 2D, so it looks flat. No? Okay. Just before he has his drink spiked, he does give quite a little clever line, which I liked, actually. Here we go.
How do you smurf a hall, anyway?
I just like that, because they smurf everything, and it was nice that he drew that to everyone's attention. So after the bit about him being in two dimensions, Smurfette turns up, and she's the ghost of Christmas past.
Smurfette?
I'm the Smurf of Christmas past.
But she's also like an amalgamation of Jacob Marley as well, because she sort of explains that he's going to be visited by three spirits. And this is nice, because they do a little nod to the bit where in A Christmas Carol, where Scrooge is saying, oh, you're just a figment of my imagination. You could be a blob of mustard or a bit of underdone potato. And this is what he says.
I shouldn't have had that second glass of Smurfberry Nog.
Oh, go away. You're just a figment of my indigestion.
No, I'm one of three spirits that's going to visit you tonight.
So I really like that. Anyway, she takes him back in time, and we see the fact that he did used to love Christmas.
Oh, I hate mornings. Except for Christmas morning.
So he runs into the village. It's Christmas Day. They're all lined up waiting to get their presents. And all Grouchy wants is a hang glider. Interesting that he wanted a hang glider, because when I was a kid, I used to collect Smurfs, and I actually had a hang glider Smurf. I remember that. That was one of my favourite ones. It was like a little red and yellow hang glider. Anyway, they all get hats.
A new hat!
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 A new hat.
Whoa! A new hat!
A new hat. Again.
And then the last year, Jokey Smurf comes out of a great big box that's shaped like a hang glider. He opens it up, it explodes in his face, and then he just gets a hat. And that's pretty much the final straw, and that is when he decides he hates Christmas. So we've established in the past that he hates Christmas. Now it's the Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas present is Brainy.
Brainy?
I'm afraid you are incorrect in your assumption, for I am the Smurf of Christmas present.
Now this is something that they had to do for the story to work, because the Christmas present he takes him to is actually Christmas Eve. So it's pretty much when he got knocked out by the potion he took. It's sort of that time carrying on from when he sort of fell asleep. So it's Christmas Eve. And because Grouchy isn't there, he's at home being all miserable. He's not there to put the star on top of the tree. So Clumsy Smurf has a go, makes a right house job of it. Everything falls over and he sets the tree on fire and it all burns down to a cinder. Interestingly, Clumsy Smurf was played by the late Anton Yelchin, who also played Chekhov in the Star Trek movies. After we see the tree burn down, it takes us to Papa Smurf, and it turns out that all the hats that he gives his presents every Christmas, he makes them handmade himself.
Papa makes all of our hats himself?
And crafts each one to meet the particular needs of every Smurf. Takes him all year.
On the subject of the hats, actually, the hats that Smurfs wear, you might not know this, they're called a Phrygian cap or a Liberty cap. And these were famous caps around the time of like the French and the American Revolution. They, like, the revolutionaries would wear these caps with like a curved bit on the end that hung over. And it actually appears on the seal of the United States Senate. If you look it up, the seal of the United States Senate, go and Google it, and there at the top is a little Phrygian cap. They look a little bit different to a Smurf one, not the bit that curls over, is not quite as big. Have a look anyway, you'll see what I mean. So now Grouchy starts to feel a little bit guilty because he didn't realise that, you know, Papa Smurf was making all these caps by hand. And then it goes to the Ghost of Christmas Future, who is Hefty Smurf.
Hefty? Oh, not Hefty, you lump of coal. I am the Smurf of Christmas Future.
So this is another bit that they had to make a bit different to fit in with the storyline. Christmas Future is Christmas Day, so sort of like tomorrow. So it's all set Christmas Eve. Christmas Future is the next day. Not like years down the line, but literally just there. You know, it's one of those things, but it works. So, you know, give them a break on it. It turns out that because the tree had burnt down on Christmas Day, they all decide, you know, God, we need another tree. So they go off to the West Forest to get a new tree, but they're all kidnapped by Gargamel. And Hefty takes Grouchy to Gargamel's castle, and there's all the Smurfs in these little cages. And there's an interesting line where he says this.
They were all captured, trying to make me happy.
When Papa came looking for them, Gargamel got him too.
I've been so selfish.
Well, on the bright side, looks like you'll all get to spend one last Christmas together after all.
And then Gargamel's trying to chase Grouchy as well. And he wakes up, and it all goes back to computer-generated animation again. And he's learned his lesson, and he gets another tree himself, decorates it and everything, and he puts the star on the top, and he's learned his lesson, and we get this quote.
I was wrong. Christmas isn't a time for hating. That's what all the other days are for. I was so busy focusing on what I wanted that I didn't see the real gift was having a family that cares, even though I'm grouchy.
Merry Christmas.
So that's pretty much it. It's only 22 minutes long. What I will say is it's loads of fun. I enjoyed it as a grown-up. I think little ones will definitely enjoy it. You know, it's a good way to get them used to the Christmas story. If you don't want to show them one of the live-action versions of A Christmas Carol, this would be ideal. And they're telling their version of the story, which I kind of think is nice, you know. I'm a purist generally, but only when they're trying to tell the proper story. This isn't Ebenezer Scrooge. This is Grouchy Smurf. Interestingly, Grouchy Smurf, he was originally called Grumpy in the UK when the Smurfs first sort of had a cartoon in the UK. But I've got a feeling, I'm not 100% on this, but I've got a feeling that they had to change it to Grouchy because Grumpy, as one of the Seven Dwarfs, was copyrighted by Disney. So they had to change his name to Grouchy. Not 100% on that, but I'm pretty sure about it. Anyway, so you've got, instead of Ebenezer, you've got Grouchy. You know, the ghost, the story is completely different. Alas, when he wakes up on Christmas Day, there is no little boy in the street to shout, Walker! But I say, don't just give it a shot, but let the kids have a look as well. I think you'll enjoy it. If you want to watch it, it's not on Netflix. I don't think it's on Amazon Prime either. I ended up watching it on Daily Motion. But you can pick up a DVD of it for like a couple of quid on eBay. So yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. Give it a shot. Last episode, I did a thoroughly riveting segment on Christmas plants. And at the end of that segment, I said that I'd come back to it this week because I'd learnt a lot of Christmas legends about some of the plants. So that's this segment now. Now, before I start the stories, I just want to begin by saying that I found different versions of the stories in different places. So what I'll be doing is reading out the versions that I think are the best stories. So the first one is about the Christmas cactus, and there's actually two different stories about that, and I'm going to read them both out to you now. So here's the first one. So this story is said to be from Brazil, which is the Christmas cactus's native land. And a young boy who lived in the jungle had prayed to God to give him a little sign of Christmas in his hot and humid world. As Christmas approached, he prayed even more, but still nothing. On Christmas Day, though, he stepped out of his hut to realise that the jungle had filled with flowers overnight. Cacti growing on the branches of the surrounding trees had all started to bloom at the same time. Moreover, with their weeping flowers, they looked just like Christmas bells, and so another Christmas legend was born. So that was the first story, and this is the second story. A Jesuit missionary, known as Father Jose, was trying to convert Bolivian natives. However, in spite of his good works and attempts to pass along the word, he was met with failure. The native people appreciated his help, but did not believe in the Christmas story he tried to convey. As he was praying at his crude altar on Christmas Eve, he heard his congregants singing a hymn he had taught them. And when he looked up, the children of the village were heading his way bearing plant stems decorated with beautiful flowers. They were the blooms of the Schlumbergera cacti, that's the Christmas cactus, which they gave him to decorate the altar. Now they're both beautiful stories, but as charming as the legends may be, it's very unlikely. You see, Christmas cacti, they bloom when the days are short, because it's a Christmas cactus, you see, so they bloom in the winter. And Brazil and Bolivia are both in the southern hemisphere, where the days are actually longer at Christmas. So the Christmas cactus, it does light up Brazil's coastal jungle when it blooms, but probably in May or June rather than December, which is why the Brazilians commonly call the Christmas cactus the Flor de Mayo, meaning the May flower. So the second one we're going to talk about is the Christmas rose, or the Helleborus niger. So tradition tells how the shepherds, while watching their flocks, were visited by an angel, and the angel told them of the birth of Jesus. Overjoyed, the shepherds left their flocks to visit the newborn king, taking with them such gifts as they could afford and were befitting of their status, such as honey, fruit, and snow-white doves. Now on that cold winter night, when Jesus was born, the shepherds were not the only ones on the hillside tending their flocks. A young shepherdess, called Madelon, was also out tending her family's flock and had witnessed the arrival of the angel and had heard what the angel had told the shepherds. Hearing the news, the young girl's heart became full of love and devotion and filled with faith. At a distance, she followed the angel and the shepherds to the stable where Jesus lay in the manger. She watched as the shepherds entered the stable and as the magi went in and laid their wonderful gifts of gold, myrrh and frankincense before the baby Jesus. And she saw the shepherds give their gifts of honey, fruit and snow-white doves. And realising she had nothing to give, she rushed back to the hillside to try and find flowers that she could lay before him. Finding none on the snow-covered hillside, she became full of shame and despair and began crying. And as she cried, her tears fell down her face onto the snowy ground around her. And seeing this from on high, the angel came down and touched the ground, and a bush of the most beautiful winter roses sprang forth at her feet. And the angel told her, "No gold, no frankincense, no myrrh is as precious or as fitting a gift for the Prince of Peace as these pure blooms that are born from the pure tears of love, faith and devotion." There you go, that was a lovely one, wasn't it? Yeah. So now we have the story of the poinsettia. There was once a poor Mexican girl called Pepita who had no present to give the baby Jesus at the Christmas Eve services. As Pepita walked to the chapel sadly, her cousin Pedro tried to cheer her up. "Pepita," he said, "I'm sure that even the smallest gift given by someone who loves him will make Jesus happy." Pepita didn't know what she could give, so she picked a small handful of weeds from the roadside and made them into a small bouquet. She felt embarrassed because she could only give this small present to Jesus. As she walked through the chapel to the altar, she remembered what Pedro had said, and she began to feel better. Knelt down and put the bouquet at the bottom of the nativity scene. Suddenly, the bouquet of weeds burst into bright red flowers, and everyone who saw them was sure they had seen a miracle. From that day on, the bright red flowers were known as the Flores de Noche Buena, or the Flowers of the Holy Night. So there you go, the Flowers of the Holy Night is another name for poinsettia. So the next one is very short, and it's about the amaryllis. Now the Portuguese name for the amaryllis is St. Joseph's staff. So the legend goes that there used to be a selection process conducted by a high priest to choose a husband for young ladies. And as the selection process was being conducted by a high priest to find a husband for the Virgin Mary, Joseph's staff began to sprout bright amaryllis flowers, and therefore he was chosen to be Mary's husband. And that is why, in Portuguese, the name of the amaryllis flower is St. Joseph's Staff. Now, the final story is quite a long one. I'm not going to tell you what the plant is. You've got to see if you can guess what it is, and you'll find out at the end. Here we go. When the Star of Bethlehem appeared in the sky at the birth of Jesus, all the plants were given the gift of speech, and each wanted to show the others that it could better serve the new king and his family. I can serve them better than any other plant, claimed the date palm. With my long fronds, I can offer them shade during days of sweltering heat, plus my delicious fresh or dried fruits will feed them all year long. I am certainly the most useful. You're mistaken, replied the sugar cane. I'm by far the most useful to Jesus and his parents. With my sugary sap, I can make sweets that will make the child smile, soft drinks to quench his thirst, and delicious spreads to butter his bread. I am obviously the most useful. You're both wrong, cried the wheat plant. Where does daily bread come from? The staple food of all men, if not from my grain. Look how Joseph toils to sow me, to reap me, and to reduce my grains into flour, while Mary bakes not only bread, but delicious biscuits, enough to please everyone. Surely I am the most useful. But none of you can protect the Holy Family against the vile soldiers of King Herod, who threatens to kill all the babies in Bethlehem, added the rose. Me, on the other hand, with my sharp spines, I can surround the Holy Family and protect them from any attack. No one will dare cross a hedge of spiny roses. Moreover, my pretty and ever so fragrant flowers will make little Jesus smile with joy. It's obviously me who will be the most useful plant. And so each plant expressed itself, extolling its merits. There was only one, a simple shrub, that remained quiet. What could it offer to Jesus and his family? It had nothing remarkable, only simple white and rather dull flowers. Thus the shrub listened to the bluster of others without saying a word, deeply saddened. A few days later, Mary settled out by the well to wash the Holy Family's clothes. After wringing them out well, she looked for a place to spread the clothes to dry. She tried to spread her wet cloak over the long fronds of the date palm, but they were so high up that she couldn't reach them. Then she tried the sugar cane, but under the weight of the cloak, its stems bent right to the ground. She didn't even try drying the clothes on the wheat. Its stems didn't even resist heavy rains, let alone the weight of soggy garments. Finally, the rose bush had thorns so nasty that she didn't even dare to approach it for fear of tearing the clothes. Then she noticed the shrub. Modest in size, it was perfectly within reach, and its stems were rigid and unyielding. In addition, since it was wider than high, there was enough room to support all the clothes as they dried. This shrub just might be the perfect plant to use as the clothes horse. Thus Mary spread the soggy clothes over the shrub, which then swelled with pride, realising it was at least as useful to the Holy Family as any other plant. But then a miracle occurred. When Mary picked up the now dry clothes a few hours later, the purplish blue of her cloak had dripped onto the shrub's dull white flowers, staining them a beautiful soft blue. Also, the odour of sanctity of baby Jesus' clothes had permeated the shrub's narrow foliage, giving it a heavenly aroma. And ever since that day, the shrub bears blue flowers, and its foliage gives off a delicious scent that pleases everyone. Mary, seeing the beauty of the little shrub and breathing in its saintly perfume, exclaimed, "Little shrub, you're definitely my favourite plant." And what is this shrub with its blue flowers and foliage so deliciously scented? It's rosemary. Even its name recalls the legend, because the name rosemary comes from the Latin rosmarinus, which means, of course, Mary's rose. So there you go. If you guessed it was rosemary, well done. If you didn't, who cares? Do you know what I mean? It's just a story about plants. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed those stories. And again, I'm going to say another thank you to Janita Mulligan for putting me onto the subject, because if she hadn't, we never would have got to learn those Christmas legends. And I really enjoyed those, and I hope you did too. Let's move on. Just for you, Bjorn, I've got my jingle bells at the ready. Here we go. Yule lads, Yule lads, you'll love 'em, I'll love 'em, we'll love 'em, we'll love. The Yule lads, the Yule lads, the Yule lads, those Yule lads, yeah. Right. This episode's Yule lad is called Gluckageia. Hope I said that right. I know my Scandinavian correspondent can always put me right if I said it wrong. Anyway, Gluckageia is also known in English as window peeper. He comes down on the 21st of December and he heads off home on the 3rd of January. And this is his verse of the Yule Lad's poem. The 10th was Window Peeper, a weird little twit, who stepped up to the window and stole a peek through it. And whatever was inside, to which his eye was drawn, he most likely attempted to take later on. So pretty much, he's having a look through your window, seeing what he wants to nick, and then when you're not looking or when you're going out, I don't know where you're going, maybe you're going down the shops, he pops in and has a way with it. Which I think is kind of like, that's a nice way of looking at it, because I like to think that whoever wrote this has got a clean mind. They're thinking, oh no, he's just having a look, see what he wants to steal. He's not having a gander at my wife while she's getting changed. He probably is. I mean, it could be like double bubble, you know, like he's having a look to see what he wants to steal, but at the same time, he's having a gander at your wife getting changed. I don't know the definite situation of what Window Peeper's up to. So what we do know is that he's looking through your windows, and then you've got to make the decision if you think he's casing the joint, you know, seeing what he fancies stealing, or if he's having a look at your wife getting changed. If you're a lady, he's having a look at you getting changed. Or he might not be that way inclined, and he might be looking at me getting changed. I don't know. I know very little about this. I just know there's some little Yule lad looking through my windows. Peeping through my windows. And I'd prefer it if he didn't, to be honest. I'd like a bit more privacy, please. Thank you. So we're getting closer to Christmas. If you've been putting your shoe out on the windowsill, you know, if you've been bad, you're going to get a rotten potato. But if you've been good, you know, we're getting closer to Christmas, so you could be in the money. You know, we could be getting decent-sized presents now. What do you reckon? And so we started off probably a lollipop. We've only got like 3 or 4 days left to go. What do you reckon would be that sort of level present? What are you saying? I can't hear you. Maybe a Lego set? How old's this kid? Say it's a Lego set. Just a smallish Lego set. That's not bad, is it? Because they're quite expensive, aren't they, Lego? Should we say that? You got a Lego set. Well, congratulations, you got a Lego set. That's this week's Yule Lad, Window Peeper. Let's move on. This episode's recommendation is a podcast I started listening to last year, but it originally came out the year before that. It started in 2018. The podcast is called Merry Britsmas and is presented by a gentleman by the name of Adam Parker. As the title suggests, it's a British-based podcast, and every episode, Adam talks about a Christmas tradition in the UK, he'll talk about a Christmas TV special, and he'll talk about a Christmas song, all from the UK. He's got a brilliant way about him, he's very knowledgeable, and it's very, very interesting. I'm sure you'll enjoy it, because I really do enjoy it. If you like Christmas, you'll like this, even if you don't live in the UK, and even if you don't care about Christmas in the UK. I think you'll get a kick out of it. Now, I sent Adam an email asking him to send me a promo clip for the show. Now, at the moment, he hasn't got back to me yet, but if he does get back to me before this episode goes live, I'm going to play it now.
It's Christmas!
Hello, my name is Adam, and I'm the host of Merry Britsmas. I know what you're thinking, another blooming British bloke talking about Christmas. I'm already listening to one, and another one pops up. Well, yes, sorry, apologies. But we're quite different, really. You see, Merry Britsmas looks at just British Christmas things. Each episode, I discuss, explore, review a British Christmas TV special, a British Christmas song, and a British tradition. If you're interested in British Christmas things, or are British and love Christmas, check me out at Merry Britsmas and give me a follow on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Happy blooming Christmas to you and all.
I don't know if you got heard anything then. It might have just been silence for a couple of seconds. Or I don't know what happened. I'm recording. I don't know what happened. Fingers crossed you just heard a promo for his show. If you didn't, I'll just say check it out. It's called Merry Britsmas. Brits, B-R-I-T-S-M-A-S. He's got a website. It's merrybritsmas.co.uk. But if you just Google Merry Britsmas, it'll come up and you'll be able to have a listen. And I really do recommend it. I know I say that about every podcast I recommend. I wouldn't suggest it if I didn't enjoy it myself. And this one, I definitely do. So give it a listen. Learn a bit more about our British Christmases. That's this week's recommendation. Merry Britsmas. And that is it for this episode. I really do hope you've enjoyed it. Now, before I go, I've got an offer for you. Every episode, I say, if you've got a story, send it in. Okay, that's all I say. I'm going to sweeten the deal. I'm going to offer you, if you send me in a story, you've got to record it. That's the only thing. Now, I don't care how you record it, you know, but it's easy just to record it as a voice message on your phone. Everyone's phone's got a voice recorder these days. You record it in MP3. You just send it to me, email it through. You know the email address. I'll tell you in a minute. The reason I'm doing this is because I'm sure if you're listening to a whole hour of just me talking, you must be sick of the sound of my voice. And if I can get other people's voices on air, it will be that much better. So send me your Christmas stories. It can be a Christmas story of shame. It can be the worst Christmas present ever. It can be how you found out the truth about Santa Claus. It can be your favorite Christmas. It can be anything. Just record it and send it through, and I will give you a prize, a gift worth £1,000. Okay, and you're going to be thinking, £1,000? Yeah, really? Well, I'll tell you what the gift is. It is a hand-drawn Christmas card by my daughter Robin. Now, I won't lie to you, she's done a couple of Christmas cards already this year. They look like a four-year-old did them. But that's because she's 4 years old, so that makes sense, okay? She's also going to write in it as well. She'll write to, whatever your name is, Merry Christmas from Robin, and she might put my name in as well. I don't know. Sometimes she gets bored after she's written her own name. We'll see what happens. Now, I say that's worth £1,000. If you want to buy one of those cards, you can. I'll sell it to you. It's going to cost you £1,000. That's the deal. That's why these cards are worth £1,000. The only way you're getting one is if you send me £1,000 or a story that you've recorded. That's all you got to do. It could take you less than a minute. Quick story. Email it through with your address, obviously, and I will send you a hand-drawn, handwritten card from my little girl, Robin. If you do want to do this, I'm going to need you to do it before the 7th of December. So you've got plenty of time. You've still got about 3 weeks to do it. The reason I say that is because I want you to get the card before Christmas. So send me a voice recording, however you want to record it, with your address. I will send you the card from Robin. Simple as that. That's the deal. Or send me £1,000 and I will send you a card from Robin. That's the only two ways you're going to get one of these cards. I'm not saying they're worth £1,000. I'm just saying that's what the price is. I don't expect to sell any, but I am hoping that I can give out a load to people that send me a story. So if you want to send a story in, the email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. It is as simple as that. totalchristmas@gmail.com. Send it in, I'll send you a card. Everyone wins. Everyone wins. I can't see if anyone is going to lose on this one, unless you get a really bad one of her cards, because they're not all great. Like I said, she's 4 years old. Sometimes, let's move on. If you want to have a look at the website is totalchristmaspodcast.com. I am on Facebook. I do put a few pictures and links up on Facebook. Not a lot. I'm no good at the social media stuff. I've said that before, but I'm not. But I do try. If you want to hear your name on the podcast next episode, just go on there, click on like on the page, and next episode you'll hear your name. Otherwise, it's been a blast. I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as I've enjoyed talking to you. Have a wonderful couple of weeks. You know I love you. Merry Christmas.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right.
Attaboy, Clarence.